This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Double Tap here on AMI Audio and Podcast. It's Thursday, it's the 11th of April, 2024. Coming up, more of your feedback and some of the big tech news stories of the day.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Hey Sean Preece, how you doing?
Hello, Lurch. How are you?
Yes, I don't quite know what happened there. Of the day.
You rang. Okay, very good. Wait, and do you always say the year when you give the date? Is that a new thing?
Yeah. No, I've always said the year. I don't know if I was getting it right, but I do often say the year. The amount of times I've listened back to the show, so I mean, very rarely that happens because I just cringe. But, you know, when I do listen back, I will often say things like, you know, oh, it's 2022 again. Oh, wow. That's going to be really helpful. Yeah.
That was very
helps
good.
Helps me know well what done. The year is. This is why I do this show. It's just to keep me up to date with what the date is. That's the only reason I'm here.
I said that to you just yesterday, that the only reason I know what day it is because of this show. Otherwise, I have no idea. So, Double Tap, what a great resource. Thank you.
That's right. Keeping you up to date with the date. Right. So, today I want to talk about a couple of stories I've spotted. I didn't know that Amazon paid developers to create skills for Lady A. I didn't know this was a thing.
Well, yes, I have heard of this before, and it does depend on the skill's popularity. So if you create, you know, a fart skill, for example, I don't believe you're going to be able to retire on that from Amazon.
I think for legal reasons, we should change the name of that. We'll call it one of those. One of those, Mr. F skills.
I am so sorry, Mr. F. That was him.
That's what it stands for today. just for the purposes of reference, that's all.
You've put me so right off here now. I'm so worried. Sorry, Mr. F. The point is that those popular skills, such as Night Manager, for example, a very, very popular skill. Now, I am absolutely sure that the developer there gets something from Amazon to keep that going because it brings people in. It keeps people interested in their smart speaker.
Yeah, apparently Amazon started paying developers of Lady A skills back in 2017. Now, what they offered was a $100 monthly credit to Amazon Web Services, which is where these skills, I guess, are hosted. And they paid developers based on how popular their skills were. But there's not much more detail than that. This is Bloomberg who are reporting this. And they say while many developers didn't make a lot of money from their skills, if any at all, a small number did report making thousands every month, at least at the very start of the program. Now, the news today is Amazon are going to stop paying those developers to create the skills, and they're ending the monthly payout program after June 30th, 2024, because you know me, I like to keep you up to date
with the
year.
Breaking year. Yeah, not surprising to me whatsoever. And I've got to say, the way that the skills have been handled by Amazon has been absolutely dreadful for the longest time. It's the discovery of skills is just such hard work. I could understand how developers themselves may get sort of annoyed with it, because how do you get people aware of your skills? The skill store in the Lady A app isn't great. You ask the smart speaker itself and it will give you the same old skills you've heard 1,000 times before. So it definitely needs a total rip down and rebuilding of how skills are handled. And maybe this is part of it.
Yeah, I mean, the only benefit I got from the skill store was that you could enable certain skills by voice on the device itself, but you had to know what the skill was, and you couldn't easily query skills either. This is all going to change with AI, though, isn't it? I mean, that's the whole point of AI, it seems. You know, natural language conversation, being able to seek out specific bits of information much more easily.
Yes.
It's going to change everything. And there is talk that as a result of this change, and let's be totally honest about this, this is all to do with cutbacks, because as we've been talking about here on the show, last year especially, there were broad cutbacks across the Lady A division. Last year, Amazon laid off hundreds of workers in the division as the company moved ahead with plans to supercharge, in quotes, Lady A with AI. They've also rolled out large language model tools that developers can use to make AI-powered Lady A experiences. So Yeah, I mean, it's going to change skills in the future. I don't think it's going to be skills. It's going to be, what do they call them now? AI experiences or whatever the new thing is. I mean, it's a rebrand. Ultimately, it is a skill store.
Yes, it is. Let's just call it an app store and everyone be done with it. Yeah. I think it's a mistake to cut down on staff, on human beings behind the technology, because the smart speaker, we're talking about Lady A and Amazon here, the smart speaker is Amazon's iPhone. I mean, it's been incredibly successful and they should be piling everything into that to make it the most amazing experience. Right now, I feel like smart speakers have died. This is the death of Gen Zero smart speakers. I will go to my AI before I ask my smart speaker a question now. My smart speaker is for playing media and controlling my smart home, and that's pretty much it. It's feeling dated, and we need to move on to the next phase, the next Gen 1 of smart speakers, and it's got to happen soon.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of news around AI is just incredible, and the amount of stories I'm seeing as well. And honestly, we just couldn't cover them all here. There are so many stories, especially around the value of AI to accessibility. And it doesn't feel like it's a hope. It feels like it's almost just going to happen in some ways. Yes. I mean, I'm often a little bit nervous to say that because let's see what reality brings. I mean, as much as I look at something like the Humane AI PIN, for example, and think AI is the future of everything, and then I realize I can't log into this device without, you know, being able to see a display which is actually on my hand and then interact with that. That does make me a little bit nervous. So AI in and of itself as software, I think, will certainly make life a lot more accessible for disabled people. I think the tools that are used to access it, and, you know, a great example of that, even on the software front, is, you know, the chat.openai.com website not being particularly accessible, unlabeled buttons and so on.
Yeah, same with Pi. Yeah, exactly
the same. Yeah, speaking of Pi, lots of people getting in touch about this. And, I think you probably wish you hadn't mentioned it, because I don't know about you, but I have struggled to get on to Pi. Or at least to get an answer from Pi. I get a lot of do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do thinking, you know, thinking brain and nothing.
I am kicking myself because...
You've broken it.
When I was using, the whole thing with Pi was it was almost instant. It was so quick in responding. And I used it yesterday, and for the first time, I had to wait a little bit to get an answer. And I
thought, that's because you mentioned it here. Everyone's using it now.
That's still great, though. Still worth it.
You know, it's interesting, though, because, you know, I know we got a lot of people getting in touch worried and genuinely worried that Amazon, Lady A, Lady G, they'll disappear. You know, they'll just stop functioning as they are. And instead, a new version will come along and we may even have to pay for it. I do imagine that in the future we will have to pay. And I imagine that'll be very soon, actually. I don't think we'll be waiting too long before we get news of what this new model will be, the new Lady A Plus that comes along. Whatever it is, we'll have to pay for it, I imagine. But
boo.
The rumor is, and this is rumor at the moment, but the rumor is that, you know, if you like what you've got currently, nothing will change. You can keep that. And I think that's important. The hardware of Amazon, the Echo technology they've built, is very robust, and it can clearly last the test of time. I mean, my first generation Amazon Echo still works fine. It's kind of, I mean, I'd say it's maybe a little bit slower to respond, but we're talking like a second. It's not anything to get upset about. So the hardware hasn't changed much. However, I think for what will be coming down the pipe with AI, new hardware is going to be required, because, and especially because, we don't always want to be reaching out to the internet. In the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of the capability of Lady A developed on device, so you get a much quicker response to things. The processing is done on board. It will be reaching out to the internet for some information, but not as much as it has to if it's got its own onboard brain. And with
the
AI
basic functions,
but with AI, you need a much more powerful system to do that. So I think that current devices might not cut it. So,
not at all. Say goodbye to your $50 smart speakers if we got AI on board.
Although,
I'm not convinced that's going to happen.
I do think Amazon will keep the prices low, because they know they'll get mass adoption. They know they will.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, look, these things are so popular I mean, they're pretty much, you can't give them away to people now. You say to someone, no. Do you want one? It's like, I've already got one. Or you know, you've got one, it's like, yeah, well, why do you have another one? I only want one. I don't need any more than one. I live in a small house. You know, I live in a flat. I don't need any more than one. I yell from any corner of my house and it hears me. So
they're still so good at that. Yes. Yeah. And look, they have broken through. I mean, they are part of culture now. You know, when you get TV shows referencing smart speakers, you know you've got a successful piece of technology on your hands. So they've done their piece, but it just feels they've rested on their laurels a little bit. And now things are going to change. I hope so anyway.
I think we should get to some emails because we've got a lot to get through. And I want to kick off with Scott, who's, you know, normally at this point I'd maybe play a little email jingle. But I think Scott may have been asking for Laura to perhaps help out with that a little bit.
Oh,
it's fair to say, though, I don't think Mrs. K is particularly enamoured by this request.
Hello, Double Tappers. Side note from Laura. I am not your performing monkey, but here goes. Email. I sent my email. I sent my thoughts to you today. Thank you, Laura, for reading our email today. Sean, you are not doing it wrong. Well, maybe some things, like the carpet in the kitchen, but as far as holding the white cane, I don't think so. I was taught by an O&M instructor to hold the white cane diagonally in front of my body with my elbow by my side, where the elbow is the pivot point for the cane arc. Side note, for safety, never use the wrist strap while travelling. Additionally, I was taught to be ambidextrous with cane use. You never know to which side someone you are walking with will be on, so you don't jab them with your elbow if the cane sticks in a crack, etc., or if you are to be carrying anything with one hand or injure one arm, the transition to using the other hand is seamless. I recently had one arm in a sling for a few days following a shoulder surgery, where this was helpful, or even in the past when my wife needed my assistance for stability, God rest her soul. I have only used two types of cane tips, a rolling marshmallow and a solid metal button, like what is found at the end of a chair leg. Both seem to get stuck in the same types of obstacles, so I lean towards using the metal button, as the weight saving is remarkable. The metal button can be used either for constant contact or the tap-tap technique. Hey, double tap. It's not just for touchscreens anymore. On to other news. Since my wife's passing, I've been dabbling in the kitchen more as food delivery prices are getting out of hand. Did you know that Be My AI can help determine when food is cooked? I've recently tested snapping pictures while cooking various foods in a skillet. For example, while browning ground beef for tacos, using the AI at various stages during the process describes the doneness of the meat. At the start, stating a pink or red colouring. In the middle, stating mostly brown with some pink or red showing. And then at the end, brown with no visible pink and red showing. One time it even said, you might as well throw that away as you burnt the heck out of it. Just kidding on that last point, but maybe we'll have carrot AI one day.
That'd be good.
For now, I guess my nose and the screaming smoke alarm will suffice to let me know if I've burnt something. Lol. When I first tried being my AI for this, I was just curious as to whether it would identify the type of food, and wow, was I surprised to get a much fuller description, even down to the type of pan and description of the area around the pan. While it's not the Force, Yoda would probably say, yes, very good, this tech be. Sorry, Stephen, for the Star Wars reference. It's the inner geek in me coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I've also used Be My AI to go through pantry items, not only to identify them, but to check expiration dates. After snapping the initial picture, if you ask the AI to locate the expiration date, all of the subsequent pictures, regardless of a different box or can, sent into the chat, will stay focused on this task, saving time. Asking the specific question also works when trying to find those elusive cooking instructions. A quick update before I go. My tech chat with the low vision seniors was well received for the initial visit, and I'm working on scheduling more time with them to dig deeper into their challenges for daily living. Goodbye for now from Maryland, USA, Scott. P.S. Still not the cookies, but Maryland is the home of the National Federation of the Blind, NFB.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. Although, to me, it is absolutely the home of the Maryland cookie, but
of course,
just skip on from that. Scott, thank, thank you for the Scott. Message. So sorry to hear about your wife's passing. That's just thoughts are with you on that. Be My AI is incredible. I mean, it just is. I would be wary to trust it too much with that kind of thing, just because I often think about light in the room. I don't know if that would change what it can see or what it's able to see in terms of the colour of meat or the, you know, brownness of mince in a pot or whatever it would be.
But is it better than what else are you going to use? What other skills do you use for something like that? Do you go off the just time? Do you go off a thermometer? Do you go off feel, texture, even burn your fingers? I mean, it's just another tool in the box. And I got to say, there are some amazing tips for Be My Eyes there, especially about the date of expiry date and cooking instructions. I didn't know that. So fantastic.
As long as I can see it, I think, right? As long as I can see it, because that's often the challenge. And remember the, it's funny enough, we're talking about the Amazon Echo earlier. Amazon Echo with the screen had the Echo Show. It had the show and tell feature.
Oh, thank God you remembered the name of it, because I was racking my brain. Show and tell, yes. Absolutely terrible.
It was, wasn't it? I mean, God love them for trying, but it just didn't cut the mustard, really. I can't remember who told us this, but someone had emailed in a while back to say that they had used Google Lookout, and they found Google Lookout way more useful for this tool, for this purpose. So that might be worth knowing about if you've got an iPhone. Or sorry, if you've got an Android phone. You certainly can't use it on an iPhone yet.
iPhone? No, not yet. Of course not. No, but I mean, seeing AI, I mean, any of those apps are better anyway. I don't know if it was to do with the trying to get in position in shot. If you can't see the screen, trying to get in shot of a of the Echo Show was an absolute nightmare when it came to show and tell and being in the right position, distance from the camera, the resolution of the camera. All of those factors just made it, you know what, actually it's not worth it. I moved the Echo Show into the kitchen when this feature was first rolled out for exactly that point. You know, I could take a can out. What am I holding in my hand? It took so long to get any sort of useful information that it just wasn't worthwhile.
As for holding the cane, you know what? I'm going to refer to you on this one, Scott, because honestly, I was working this out in my head. I got O&M training in the late 1980s.
Oh.
And never since. Yep. So I had even invented cars by then. So I'm tempted to think, you know what? I don't really know if what I got in terms of training, because I certainly didn't get the training on how to use it in both hands or you know, different ways of using the cane. I only was ever taught to use it on one hand, which is interesting, right?
That's something that never came up. Yeah, I had to use my left hand. I'm right-handed. I had to use my left hand for my cane the other day for some reason. I was carrying a shopping bag and it was digging in and I just had to swap hands. And it felt so uncomfortable and slowed me down so much. I never even thought of it before. Yeah, absolutely. But as for using the cane in front of you, I honestly, I've never had O&M training, so I don't know the official line on this. This is just something that when I picked up the cane and started using it, that was just natural for me to hold basically the cane at my hip and it use it diagonally in front of my body. So I don't know if it is the right way.
You'll be pleased to hear that Aoife Buckley, who is an O&M instructor, is going to be coming on the show in early June. And we're going to be talking about you. You'll be in the room, but we're going to talk about you.
And, talk about me. Yes,
yeah,
not
we're going
to
talk
me.
About this. And we're going to find out the right approach. So get your O&M questions ready, Priest.
Okay, will do. I'm slightly scared about that, I'll be honest.
It's a AAA show. Ask Aoife, because it's spelled A-O-I-F-E. Anything.
Is it?
Yes.
Ah,
that's how you spell it.
Well done. Yeah. It's the first time we've been AAA at anything.
The joy of this Braille display, you see, I can read and spell people's names. It's a new world. I love it. Okay, let's move on. Thank you, Scott, for that email. Really appreciate it. And Laura, you know what? I sensed a bit of attitude in there. I'm just going to say it.
Dancing monkey.
Yeah, performing monkey. Although she still did it. I'm just saying.
She still did it.
I think she
I'm going to clip that. That's my ringtone.
Yeah. And we should play it to her every time we meet. We should play that every time. Let's move on to Camille. Now, this is following up on Access Tech Live last week, our question that we were asking following the whole story of the solar eclipse coming up. The question we were asking on the show was, what would be the sort of wonder of the world you'd love to see? You know, a place you'd love to visit, a place you'd love to go. And at the end of the show, I proffered my thoughts. And, you know, some people had said, you know, the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls or, you know, the Great Wall of wherever. And my response was the original KFC, you know, the first KFC ever made. You know, I could spend I don't want the chicken from that time. I'd want today's chicken, but I'd like to eat it in the original KFC restaurant. So Camille has come back with an answer to this.
The first KFC, really? I have seen an iceberg break in half in St. Anthony in Newfoundland. That was pretty amazing. I've hiked down about one third of the way down the Grand Canyon. As well, seeing Old Faithful Geyser blow up in Yellowstone National Park was something else. And last but not least, watching Mauna Kea spilling lava in the Pacific Ocean in Hawaii was like, wow. The first KFC opened in Salt Lake City, Utah. So there you go, Stephen. I have been to Utah, but not in Salt Lake City. Have a nice day, you two. Camille.
Thank you, Camille. I mean, look, I
always, shame.
Listen,
shame.
As Jerry Seinfeld, I'm sure, said this. He said, you know, it always fascinates me what excites other people. And I think that for me, it's like, you know, I take your geyser and your lava land or whatever it was you were at, and it sounds wonderful. Lava land. That was a beautiful, wonderful place. It's a very scary theme park, but it's fun. So, you know, you take all that. That's all wonderful. But you know what? KFC, it just keeps on giving.
Okay.
I've got to say, so does the lava lamp, in fairness, but or the lava land or whatever it is.
Are we just very, very shallow people? It just doesn't interest me at all. Because I just...
What doesn't? The lava land or...?
Any of these wonders of the world, any sightseeing. I don't want to see the pyramids. I don't want to see the frozen tundra. I just not interested whatsoever. Why is that? Am I just a terrible, terrible person? Because what am I taking from that? What am I... The atmosphere? I'm not seeing it visually. So I do feel guilty about this because people say this all the time about, you know, taking things in. I have no interest whatsoever.
I just think we're happy in ourselves. It proves how happy we are as individuals. That you and I, instead of staring at the frozen tundra of wherever, you and I would rather sit here and just talk about technology all day or, you know, whatever this is.
Yes. Okay, well, so we're very happy people. We taking that, are we? We fooling
I'm
ourselves.
Going with that.
Okay, all right.
I'm with you. It's like I love going places, but you know, I have to say, I'm one of these people. Whenever I get somewhere, I immediately think, God, I can't wait to get home. That's just it's in my mind. No matter where I landed, I could land on Mars, and it'd be like you're the first human to set foot on this whole new planet, and I'm like, yeah, but. There's nothing here. Let's just go home.
Done that. Where can I get fried chicken
on
Mars?
No chicken here, right? Exactly. Where am I going to get fried chicken around here? I've got, you know, travel. You know, they're certainly not going to deliver it. So
it's all about the social experiences. That's what makes things. It's not where I am. It's not the environment. It's not whatever wondrous nature thing is in front of me. It's just the fact that, you know, it's the social aspect, right? That's the important thing.
Well, listen, you and I can prove this. I mean, we went to that, we met in Manchester, and, you know, we went to the, it was in Manchester, wasn't it? We went to the hotel, the four of us, we stayed at the hotel. It was a lovely weekend, but we literally never left the hotel. I think we left it once.
Oh, no, that's right.
And that was to go get more food.
That's another thing. Me and Sarah go to hotels, and everyone says, oh, you're going for a city break? No, I don't leave the hotel room.
Well, you're going for a break in a city, but that's as far as it goes. You just happen to be in a city, but that hotel could be anywhere.
Yes, it could, but it's an experience in itself. It's bringing room service up, having a nice candlelit meal in your room. What's wrong with that?
We have a hotel. Okay. This is terrible, right? We have a hotel that is literally 10 minutes from the house. It's a stunning hotel. It's a beautiful hotel. I don't think I've taken you there, but we should definitely. My wife and I were talking about this. If you guys are up here at some point, we should definitely go to this hotel because you will love it. It is a stunning hotel. Everything about it is stunning. And it's kind of like one of those places where you go in and you go, how is this where I live? This doesn't make sense. Where I live, this should not be here. This is New York. You know, this is like a quality hotel, right?
But this is above
you
me.
Should go there.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
as long as you don't expect me to, you know, walk around the countryside, the surrounding countryside.
I don't leave the hotel.
There we go. Perfect.
Taxi,
we're there.
Two door, in, two room. That's me for 3 days, back out again and back home. And 10 minutes is the distance. I mean, it's perfect. It is absolutely, it's like the best blind hotel ever. And they know
it
because we're never out of it.
We haven't got the all-terrain cane yet. Just,
is that what it is?
I need the hotel room cane. Yes.
I say this with my huge holiday coming up in May, and my wife continually reminding me, "You will enjoy this," and I will. I'll have a great time. We will have a wonderful time.
The cabin will be great. Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the things I've got planned in this holiday, and all of it. Every single bit of it, I'm thinking, yeah, but where do you eat in this place? And where can I get some food here? That's all I'm thinking.
Oh, let's move
Chicken
on.
Chicken thinking
email.
All day. Okay,
oh, that's
so
good.
Thank you. KFC can have that if they want it. They pretty much get everything else for free around here. Camille, thank you for the message and appreciate it. Let's get to Brian, who's got some comments on your internet connection, Sean Preece.
Oh.
Hi, gentlemen. I hope you receive this email looking for some great advice and hope you take my feedback in the spirit it is intended.
Uh-oh.
As I am impressed with all of your energy, insight and breadth of knowledge, experience on all topics covered.
Ooh.
Firstly, quick question for Sean. Listening to your internet speed performance podcast on YouTube, baffled to try and understand why you need an internet speed of over 400 megabits per second, as I spend a lot of time in France with me and my wife, can both successfully do Zoom meetings, download emails, surf the internet, and we manage with just 5 Mbps as our maximum download speed. I really suspect the internet providers hype up their performance speed and your expectations, and in reality you can manage with a lot less. Also, your YouTube video describes a 2P system compared to a 3P system, but you can obviously always buy a single extra mesh node to extend any 2P system to be equivalent to the 3P system. Anyway, my main question was to ask about an accessible microphone system that allows me to be certain of when the microphone is on and off. Are you aware of any iPhone-compatible wireless microphone system that would allow me to record bird, environmental noises, buskers in the village, live bands' performances, and allow me to be certain that the microphone is on or off? Any tips? Recommendations? Also, keen to know if the problem Sean was having with VoiceVista and the lack of road intersections has now disappeared, as I am a keen beta tester using VoiceVista and instrumented the introduction of Ruth creation with breadcrumb mode, for example, which I don't think you've covered. But an absolute game changer for blind people. It would allow, for example, to allow you to go out with a sighted person, creating a route with breadcrumbs, and then independently allow you to follow the same route later on your own. I use this when I am out on my tandem bike cycling with a cycling club, and then go with a pilot on my own and can separately navigate the bike, or on a walking route as part of a group, and then later want to repeat the route on your own. Anyway, keep well, keep up the energy, and enjoy the break during the month of May. Brian.
Oh, thank you, Brian. I take all of that in the spirit of his intenders, which seemed to be very nice.
Yes, thank you very much. And great work on your work on VoiceVista, by the way. I am still having issues, and I was going to look into that new breadcrumb routing feature, but I am still having issues and I cannot figure it out. The only thing it doesn't shout out is the intersections. I don't know why. The GPS is working fine because it'll tell me my markers when I'm coming up to a bench or a bin I've marked previously. It tells me the street and house numbers and how fast I'm walking. That's my new game, by the way, trying to get my top speed, 2 miles an hour at the minute. And everything else seems to be working fine. I cannot figure out why it doesn't read out my intersections consistently. It's just very random. On the router, yes, you can buy separate satellites. So we're talking about here, I did a Shaun of the Shed on checking your internet speed, and I was testing out two mesh router systems, Wi-Fi networks. I have the Google Nest, which is a 3P system. So you've got three routers spread around your house, and I have my old Netgear Orbi, which is a 2P system. And you're right, you can buy extra standalone satellites to expand that, except for the Netgear Orbi, because it's an old one, 2017, I cannot get separate ones for it. They've stopped doing it.
How
I
convenient.
Believe the new ones don't work with that one I've got now. You can buy new ones, of course, but they're fairly expensive. But as I pointed out, or as I demonstrated in the Shaun of the Shed video, the Netgear Orbi actually is a much stronger and a faster connection. And talking of speed, Stephen, you've got a gigabit.
Yeah, I do. And it's funny, right? You think to yourself, why would you need this? And I'm totally with you on this, Brian. I mean, you know, for the kind of tasks you're talking about, I think the top speed recommendation for a lot of these apps, like you're mentioning Zoom and Teams and all of that, is about 3 megabits per second. As long as you get a fairly solid 3 megabits per second, you're fine. The problem I have is with the type of job I have, I'm using a lot of bandwidth for recording. Sean and I use this platform called CleanFeed. We also use Riverside. And these are platforms to connect us together from our shed to studio. That's exactly what this is. It's the S2S system.
Yes.
As we call it here.
Ship to shore, yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Sometimes that's accurate as well. Sean, come in. Come in. You're nearly there. The headphones are over here.
I'm sinking.
Yes. You know, so you do need to have a good connection and a good solid connection as well. And certainly the higher speeds allow that, but also the higher contention ratio, which basically means the sort of amount of people who are using it at once, the impact that that has. Obviously, the impact gets better, or the impact doesn't worsen because you have a much bigger pipe, essentially. So that's a big thing.
It's very true.
Also, you know, I'm working with video. So, you know, we're doing YouTube now, obviously with Access Tech Live, TV. There's lots of video going around. You would not believe the size of videos and the amount of hard drive space. Just to give you a little bit of an insight, we just did some archival from the last year, and I've just used up a 16 terabyte hard drive. That's a lot of data. Now, the thing is, we back up this data as well, so I need to get that data back up to the cloud really quickly, or, you know, without having an impact on the ability to do other things. So that's really, it's not about the speed so much, it's about the bandwidth, the capability to have enough headroom to be able to do, to allow a machine to go off and upload all that content in the background without slowing everything else to a crawl. There was a time when we had the previous connection, the standard domestic connection, which was I think 70 meg before fiber came in, or this level of fiber, and we couldn't connect with each other until we had uploaded files to the internet. Remember that? Everything would just slow down. We couldn't do this at all.
Have you turned Dropbox off before we start recording? Because otherwise it all starts to break up.
Now, why is that different with Zoom and Teams? Why doesn't it impact there? Well, the answer to that is because these technologies are adaptive. So they will adapt your connection to suit. So if, for example, there's a slow point in the connection, the video quality will reduce, but your connection will remain, or the audio quality will reduce. It's exactly the same technology that Netflix uses. So in the background, you might be unaware, but you always think, wow, my internet must be great because Netflix never buffers, never does anything. Remember the old days? It used to buffer all the time. You'd wait. Now it doesn't do that. It's because of this kind of technology, this adaptive technology. Now, I'm not aware of it. I'm sure you aren't either. But I've heard people say, oh, yeah, you can tell when, you know, you've got a slow connection because the picture goes fuzzy. Well, we don't really notice that, but the audio doesn't change. So that's the upside. I used to, in the early days, hear the audio quality drop. You could hear it go from stereo to mono, for example. And you could hear that change and you would know, wow, my connection must be really slow. You hear that a lot on online video these days. If you're on Facebook or you're on YouTube, if there's a slow connection, you will notice that. But that is how the providers are able to keep everything running, even on low bandwidth. And that's how it's built. Zoom and Teams can do that. But the broadcast platforms that we use, they don't have that kind of redundancy because it's all about delivering high quality all the time. So you need a high quality connection. So I hope that answers your question and explains a little bit why these speeds are actually important. Speed is one thing, but it's the bandwidth that really, really matters. So hope that answers the question.
And also, I think you are right. Always check your speeds because you may not, you know, you don't always need faster speeds depending on the use case.
I think most people probably don't need the kind of speeds we've got.
No, not at all.
I think if you're into online gaming, if your kids are into online gaming, and that's another thing to consider, right? It's not just about you. It's if you've got kids in the house, lots of internet connection going on. If you've got a number of kids, you've got, you know, maybe you're watching Netflix, maybe your wife is doing something somewhere in the house and she's watching something, whatever it might be, all, you know, on her phone or on an iPad, these all contribute to taking up that bandwidth. And that's when you can have an issue. And as we all know, when the kids get upset, everyone gets upset. So
correct.
Make sure your internet speed is as fast as humanly possible. Am I right, Sean?
Absolutely correct. And this is this last question as well about wireless audio for the iPhone. Stephen, do you know any suggestions for that?
Yeah, I don't know the honest answer to an iPhone solution to this, but I would say that what I'm thinking about right away are those Zoom recorders we've been talking about on the show. the Zoom 1E, for example, or the Zoom 4E or the 6E. It sounds like you could do quite happily, Brian, with the Zoom 1E, H1E, I should say. H1E is the name. And it's a very simple recorder, which has an audible, it has voice guidance built in. So it will tell you when it's recording. It will tell you when you've stopped recording. Obviously, the benefit of that is you don't have to worry about it being interrupted by anything. It's, you know, it's just there to be a recorder. That's its sole function. And the kind of things you're looking to do, which I guess is record soundscapes, you want to record that in high quality stereo, I'm guessing. That would allow you to do that through the XY stereo mics that are built into it. So I think something like the H1E would be an excellent piece of kit for you. It comes in at around $100, I think. So it's not a huge, it's a considered purchase for sure, but it's probably going to cost you the same if you were buying a hardware version of an iPhone microphone, but you would get the benefit of longer recording times. I would say higher quality recording times, especially for what you're looking to do. And oftentimes, and I don't know about these new ones, but I know the old ones used to have a little tripod mount in the bottom. So you could get a little tripod and you could put it on there and you could sit it on a table and let it record away.
Very good. And accessible, as you said, with
audio
to let you know when you're recording and not recording.
Well, so, that's the key winner for these ones, because they now have the voice guidance in them. And they're constantly updating that. We had a chat with Samuel Green over on YouTube. If you ever get a chance to hear that, Brian, we did talk about that with Samuel Green on YouTube from Zoom, talking up, and a Zoom I'm talking about, just to be very clear on this, talking about Zoom recorders, not the Zoom conference platform.
Wow.
It gets a bit confusing, doesn't it? So many.
It does.
Yeah. I'll tell you what is confusing as well. The time. We really must take a break. Let's. because, you know, he'll be on the case. Yeah, I know. I'm getting there. Right, look, stick around. We'll get to more of your emails next.
Call the Double Tappers now. 1-877-803-4567. Or email us. feedback@doubletaponair.com.
Do you remember yesterday I was telling you that I was getting new slippers?
Oh, yes, that's right. Breaking news. Yes, Stephen slippers.
Haven't arrived. I keep getting notifications saying, oh, your slippers will be with you at this time or that time. Never turned up. I have to say, you know, it's funny. If this was anything else tech-wise, I'd be like, ah, you know what, it'll arrive. I'm kind of annoyed about this.
Yes.
Who can I talk to? Who can I shout at? Jeff Bezos, are you listening?
Have we got any contacts at Amazon we can chase up these slippers?
It's called the help desk. That's the closest I'm going to get.
Don't think they've been stolen, do you?
No. Well, why would you? And why would you steal? I mean, don't get me wrong. Memory foam. Just saying. Maybe that was a thing.
Nice slippers. How big are these? I mean, are they coming on the back of a big truck or what? I mean, what size feet have you got? Is that too personal?
I can tell you the answer if you want. I mean, I don't know what it means, but I've got size 11 feet. Is that big?
11? That's huge. What, are you a clown? That's ridiculous.
Yes, I am a clown. Okay. Have you not heard this show? I'll let you know. I will give you an update on that as soon as breaking news comes in on that topic. I'll let you know.
We'll update the website, www.doubletaponair.com.
I'll make sure Grace puts it in the news this week. Grace is back, by the way. Grace is back. Hey! She's feeling good, so she's back, which is good news. She wasn't off Monday, so she must have been really ill.
Okay.
Right, Tom's been in touch.
Hi, guys. Tom from Colorado here again. I was just listening to your recent podcast and CC's question about getting from the bunkhouse to the outhouse. It was definitely relevant for me because I've been looking at a lot of these apps. Of course, I've been looking at them in the context of Android. And relative to that, maybe you guys know CC's phone situation, but I didn't recall him saying anything. And you just assumed right out of the gate that being the Apple fanboys that you are, that he needed an Apple solution, an iOS solution, and all of the stuff that you gave him was iOS-based, and none of them work on Android. So, yeah, there's that. There's another navigation app that you might think would work, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's called DotWalker. It's a purely GPS-based app, so the granularity of it is the spatial granularity is limited by GPS. If you don't mind, you know, being within 5 to 20 meters away from the outhouse, then I guess it's okay. But I think for the kind of thing that he's looking for, probably wouldn't work. So I guess I'd warn you away from Dot Walker. Oh, and I think Clue does not require internet connection. Anybody who knows anything about Clue and or seeing AI's indoor navigation being available on Android, please let me know. I sent an email to Seeing AI asking them about that and haven't heard anything back from them. Oh, and I've been dying to do this, so here, let me do this.
It is 4:12 p.m.
I had to contribute my talking clock's voice. It's rather nice, I think.
It is 4:12 p.m.
That's an Oregon Scientific talking timer and clock. Okie dokie, bye.
No, that's an Oregon Scientific, and this is a brainless British.
11:17 a.m.
So far, your talking clock is the worst anyone has ever heard, Stephen. So well done. Keep flying that British flag. I got to say that Tom,
this country's
that,
not dead. It's not dead. That, it's doing well. It's doing really well. Top line manufacturing. That is what we're all about.
11:17 a.m.
Listen to that. Sounds like it's under a waterfall. That talking clock, Tom, was fantastic, but the button was the loudest thing I've ever heard. But aside from that, and you know what? Well done on picking me up on that. You're right. I did. Everything there was iOS-based. I mentioned that CC should try
default,
using...
We did default, didn't we? We did default.
AirTags. He's absolutely right. Now, I assumed as well that Seeing AI did, on Android, did include the indoor navigation feature, but it's actually nothing I've tried on the Android Seeing AI app. So I'm assuming by your comment there, it isn't included yet.
Yeah, that's a bit
interesting.
Strange.
But when I mention AirTags, though, using an AirTag, hanging AirTags off doors, for example, we mentioned in using them in hotel rooms, hanging them on the inside of your door handle so you can make it beep to find it. I tend to use AirTags as a catch-all almost for any Bluetooth tracker. You've got Tile, you've got Tracker. I believe there's a new one coming from Google itself, isn't there?
Is Android has got their Find My capability now. So
that's
it's the same.
Right.
It's the same thing. Is it different to AirTags? I don't know, but I know it uses Bluetooth, and it says the benefit of that is that it can use or it can connect to the Find My network on Android without the phone even being on, which I don't know how that works, but okay.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. So, I mean, take that as a generic term when I say AirTags. I must stop and pick myself up on that, I suppose. What do you call them? Bluetooth trackers, but they are actually a pretty good thing to have, a little gadget you should always have, I think, because they're so useful for just marking locations.
You can get pickably cheap ones as well, you know, really, really cheap ones. And that could be useful for something like this, where, you know, if it does fall and break, it's not the end of the world. You know, you're not spending hundreds of pounds on something or hundreds of dollars on it. Yeah, Tom, thank you for that. I'm going to skip over the talking clock. Yours might sound better than mine, but we'll just move on. Chris gets in touch about Apple Watch notifications.
Hi, Stephen and Sean. For the person wanting to stop the announcement of who is calling on the Apple Watch, here is a few things to try. First, on the watch, go to Settings. Swipe to Notifications. In there, swipe to Announcement Notifications. On that screen, you will find a list of apps where you can choose which apps you want notifications announced. So swipe down to phone and make sure it is not turned on. If so, just double tap to off. I think that is the setting that you want, but just in case it does not work, here is another thing you can check on your phone. Go to Settings, swipe to Notifications, swipe down to phone, make sure Announce Notifications is off. Hope this helps. Chris from New York.
Thank you, Chris. I think we tried a lot of this.
We went through... The thing I find with the settings on all iOS devices is that there's different, sort almost like the same setting in different locations, especially when it comes to notifications. But yes, we did go through turning the notifications off on the Apple Watch itself and then through the Watch app and then in the settings on the iPhone, and we couldn't get it to stop shouting out the name of who was calling on the Apple Watch.
And that was a problem, right? Because when you got a call through, it would say the name three times.
Yes, it would.
And then it would, and that was it. So it wasn't very private, that's for sure.
I'm not sure if we drilled down into the specific apps, found the phone app and turned it off on that specifically. So it's definitely worth the try, and I'll give it a go after.
Mm. Thanks for that, Chris. Greg got in touch about the issue of replacing canes with smart canes or smart devices.
Hello again to the Double Tap podcasters, Stephen and Sean. Tech devices that are better than a white cane and Braille. Will there ever be a device that uses the nerve endings in our fingers to read Braille, or a device to give the wonderful tactile feedback of a white cane? The human body has an amazing way to sense our blind world with nerve endings in our fingers, hands and arms to transmit information to our brain. Will implanted computer chips in our skulls ever replace the synaptic nerve endings that send sensory info to our brains? Yes, implementations are already improving the lives of paralyzed individuals here in the United States and around the world. One person has demonstrated that he can control a cursor on a screen to play a video game using a computer chip implanted inside his skull. I think Stephen was saying that a white cane will not be replaced anytime soon with a so-called smart cane. Objects above the waistline can be detected using smart technology. Thank you for an interesting conversation about white canes and tech devices that may or may not replace them. Take care and carry on. Gregory.
Well, thank you, Gregory. And it seems we, as we like to do here at Double Tap, collect Gregs. We have our good old friend Greg in Pennsylvania who weighs in on this, and he's not so happy about me talking about this topic.
It's long past time to stop the stupid war on those attempting to find mobility aids, which could be alternatives to the cane or guide dog. There are many blind people confined to wheelchairs or who need walkers and cannot use a traditional long cane or guide dog. There are those who are deafblind and cannot hear traffic patterns. And there are those who just cannot develop the skills to navigate with a long cane for countless reasons. Stephen, get off your misguided campaign to stop development of alternatives to our current mobility choices. I am tired of being angry at Double Tap and would like to be able to enjoy your show again. Greg in Pennsylvania.
Don't be angry, Greg. Be happy. Smile. What's not to love?
No, you make me angry as well, so I understand, Greg. Absolutely. It's an emotion, though, so it's a good thing.
So, Stephen, something, right?
I just want to feel. Are you trying to stop development? Are you trying to stop advancement in mobility technology, Stephen Scott? Is that
no.
what you're saying here?
No,
are you
I'm
waging
not.
A
I've
war?
Never said such a thing. Well, I just don't think there's a need to replace what's already there. Now, I'm all for innovation. Please try. You know, please have a go at making this stuff. But you know, the main thing for me, the thing I always say in this. Is I often feel, and I'll say it again, because no one listens to me when I say this, but I genuinely feel that there's not enough involvement with our community. There's not enough people involved. It's like, oh, someone called a blind person and said, do you think this is a good idea? And they said, yes. Oh, well, that's great. Let's spend lots of R&D money and go and make it happen. If that even happens at all, I'm not even convinced that happens. I'm convinced it's probably just a developer somewhere who has a great idea and wants to, you know, help blind people. Now, that's all very laudable and it's all very lovely, but when the finished result costs thousands of dollars and then I have to go and buy it and suddenly I become the beta tester at my own cost on a device I never asked for, don't think I really need, and then realized doesn't work because there was never any involvement with blind people in the first place, I get a little bit annoyed. That's what irritates me. I'm all for innovation, but it cannot be to the cost of us. The actual literal cost. We're being asked to buy all these products.
Right, don't get angry.
No one's giving us these things to try. And if you engaged with the community first, you might find you'll get more of a take-up and interest. And a perfect example of this is Glidance. Look at the interest Glidance has. Look at the way people are talking about Glidance that's been showed off at CSUN and CES. Why? Because there's a blind person behind it. Someone who's actually
literally
behind it, who developed it, who's creating it, who knows the issues, who's clearly listening to other blind people, not just his own opinion, but other people's opinions. That matters. That I'm going to take more seriously. That's the kind of innovation I'm interested in. It's not that I'm against anyone coming up with a solution to these problems. I think there's many questions about the type of device and how it's going to work and what that device would even look like or be. I think there's a huge conversation in that, and I don't think we're anywhere near it. And that's why I keep saying stop. These companies need to stop saying they're replacing the guide dog and cane. I'm all for you bringing out a product, but don't tell me it's going to replace the thing which it absolutely is not going to replace. It's not. It's just not. unless it's one hell of a good product. But I think we're decades away from that.
Okay.
All so right. That's my thoughts.
I'm not going to add to it because I think we've had this discussion infinite times, yes.
Anyway, we're all going to stop shouting about this now and move on because Callum wants to talk about it.
Hi, Stephen, Sean, and thanks to the amazing Miss Kay for reading this. I have just listened to Wednesday and Thursday's episodes back to back and wanted to voice some thoughts. Johnny, I think it was you asking about sunglasses and cane tips. Sunglasses, in the UK, we have different categories of lenses on proper sunglasses, from 1 to 4. The higher the number, the darker they are. Category 1 and 2 are normally yellowy and designed for lower light levels, but where you may still get glare, for example, wet roads, snow, or water reflecting a little light, and the yellow colour apparently gives better depth perception. I can't tell. Category 3 is what most normal sunglasses are, and you can get many lens colours, though the colour of the lens on the outside isn't always the colour you see looking through it, so ask an optometrist or ophthalmologist for advice. And the Category 4 lenses are very dark, but still let some light in. They recommend sighted people don't wear them for driving, and they are usually designed for very bright and reflective conditions, such as mountaineering and water sports. I would suggest looking at glacier glasses with Category 4 lenses. These are designed for high-altitude mountaineering where there is glare from the glaciers and you are often above the cloud level, so the sun is very strong. They tend to have add-on shades to cut out glare around the sides too. These tend to be good quality, made by brands like Jilbo, Oakley and Block, etc. Canes. I too resisted the urge to use my cane, but now always carry one and, as an RP-er, use it all the time at night and if I'm somewhere new or busy. I now have 2 canes, both Ambutech graphite canes. I have a 4-section with the big rollerball, which is my daily driver because it is light and I can do 2-point contact when on rough ground or cobbles and constant contact the rest of the time. I then have a 6-section with a marshmallow tip, which I take as just in case. For example, when I go cycling, I might need a cane when I am not on the bike but don't really want to carry one, so this is perfect as it fits in my cycling jersey pocket. This means I take a cane, which I never did in the past, and this occasionally led to some interesting journeys home. Sorry, this is a ramble and a half, but hope it helps someone. P.S. I am with Sean. I hold my cane to the side so I don't get jabbed, just a slightly sore wrist. Cheers. Hey. Callum in sunny but cold Yorkshire.
Thank you, Callum. I appreciate that.
I am the future, apparently, of O&M instruction. Please, everyone, don't take any hints or tips from me. I'm just saying this is how I use it. I'm nearly 100% sure I'm using it wrong, but it works for me. Can I just say as well that our listeners are amazing. We got so many answers to the sunglasses question from Johnny there. Mm. I didn't know anything about it. There's some of the detail that you go into about the numbers there. Fantastic. So thank you, listeners, for helping Johnny out.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that everybody who listens is doing way more than we are. I mean, we're literally, yeah. we are probably... you know that way you think to yourself when you do a show like this, you know, here's two guys who are just sitting down talking into microphones all day. And, you know, here I am out here on the bike trail doing what I'm doing. That's exactly yes. what's going on right now because we are not those people. We're just not.
No.
Would you ever want to do tandem cycling? Have you ever tried it?
I haven't. No. You know, I would. I used to like riding the bicycle.
I loved that. I used to cycle to work. I mean, I should never have done it.
No,
I know that
me
I would,
either.
The amount of times I nearly ended up killing myself, I'm amazed yeah. I survived most of those trips. On the one occasion where I'm going along and there was a gigantic pothole in the road, the front wheel went in, and at that point I thought I was dead because it was a busy road and yeah. it was raining. Of course it was raining, it was Scotland. And that's, of course, why you had no idea where there were potholes because everything was filled with water. So here I am going along. My first wheel went in, and then the first wheel comes out again, and the back, and then I know the back wheel's going to do the same, right? So I'm thinking, as long as I can keep this thing upright, I'm okay. It gets out of the pothole, I'm carrying on, and just at that second, as the back wheel comes out, the bike is fine, we're carrying on, we're going straight, everything's good. But just at that second, a double-decker bus comes flying past me. And I thought, if I had gone off that bike, I'd have been under that. And that's when I stopped. I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I can't even see where I'm going.
Yeah.
I can't really read. I mean, I'm
being
playing
an
this.
Idiot.
You know, and I was playing it because I thought, everyone would say to me, sure, you should be doing this. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be fine. It's fine. It was just, do you know what it was? I loved the freedom. It was the only time in my life
yes.
I had freedom of travel.
I know exactly what you mean.
I could literally stop by the on the route to the to work in the morning. It was about 5 a.m, so the roads were quiet, almost empty. And so it was great to go. Coming back was the nightmare during the day, but going in the morning was fantastic. And what I would do is I would sometimes just stop by the river on the way to work, and I would just stand there with my little bottle of water, my banana, and, you know, eat my banana and drink. And then people would be back going, by morning. It was just, and it was like you were on your own time. And I
how times have changed.
But I cannot begin to tell you how impactful that is. And people who drive cars, people who are independent and do their own thing, and even, you know, I know blind people are many independent people who do their own thing as well, but we're all in some ways tied to someone else. You know, if I'm going somewhere, I'm waiting for a taxi, and then I get in the taxi, and I've got to talk to the taxi driver, or the taxi driver talks to me. You know, you get on a bus, you're talking with other people, you're waiting with other people, you're waiting. There's no ability to just say, I want to go to this place now on my own and come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, that freedom that bike gave me did that, and I just...
Let it go.
Oh,
let it go.
Just, it was such a good time. I know, it was a great time, though. It was a great, great time, but can't do it again. But tandem,
no regrets.
Tandem, you still got to talk to someone, I guess. You know, that's the other thing. Yeah.
it's other people you don't like.
That's the problem, yeah. It's just people.
Thank you.
A self-driving tandem bike, is that a thing?
All of us have had that experience where we thought, right, that's it. I've got to stop whatever I'm doing. And especially, actually, when it came to the cane as well, walking into someone, knocking a small child over. It's, you know what? I got to take responsibility for myself. So you're not alone in that.
Yeah, I think you knocked that kid over deliberately, though, didn't you? That was
he was annoying.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, that's it for today. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you again for all your amazing feedback. Keep it coming. We'll get into more of that on tomorrow's show. Don't forget, Grace is here. She's back with us tomorrow with the Double Tap News. We'll catch up with all of the headlines from the week and talk through some of that. And also the weekend, the best of YouTube, your chance to catch up with all of what we've been talking about over on YouTube, which you can find on YouTube, strangely enough. Back tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello, I'm Sean Preece. Join me monthly for Sean of the Shed, where I introduce you to all the technology that can be so useful to us as blind or partially sighted people. Find Sean of the Shed wherever you find all your podcasts.